Today on Brave, a message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
You are not saved by doing good works. You can't save yourself by doing good works. If you could, Jesus Christ didn't need to die for you. You're only saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's it. But if you have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, your life will reflect good works, which is the righteousness of Christ coming through you. Not perfectly, but increasingly.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. When God comes into your life, things inevitably change. But there are many folks whose lives seem unaltered, yet they claim to have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Monday on Brave, Pastor Jeff addresses this important discrepancy by raising awareness of the vital signs we need to monitor in our own spiritual lives. We're in the middle of a brand new study in the book of James called Walk Your Talk. And remember, all these messages are available anytime at our website, bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with today's lesson, Vital Signs.
When it comes to our faith and wanting to know if we're saved or not, we like to go ask somebody else. We like to ask, am I really saved? Did I do it right? Did I pray the right prayer? Am I doing the right things? How do I know for sure? Some of us who are younger don't think about our death that much, and that's good. Some of us who are older think about it all the time. That's not so good. But inevitably, all of us know inherently that we're going to die and stand before the Lord. And so inside of our hearts, God has set eternity in our hearts. Wouldn't it be good to know what those vital signs are? And so today I want to talk to you about your vital signs, your spiritual vital signs. How can you know that you're on the right track with God? How can you know that you're spiritually healthy? And if you want to know how your faith is doing, I believe God has a word for you today. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to James chapter 2. Starting in verse 14, and we're going to talk about four spiritual vital signs that you need to pay attention to. And the first is this: pay attention to pointless professions. Just because you profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord does not mean that you are saved. Jesus says, good trees, good fruit. Bad trees, bad fruit. If there's bad fruit, it's a bad tree. If there's good fruit, it's a good tree. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a Christian just because you prayed some prayer or made some profession or filled out a card or walked an aisle or raised your hand or did something. That is not evidence that you know the Lord. That's not saving faith. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, he says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How? If I'm continuing in the word. If I'm continuing with Jesus. How do you know if you love Jesus? You keep his word. You do what he says. How do you know that you don't love Jesus? You don't keep his word. You don't do what he says. It's that simple. You're not saved by your works, but you are for sure saved for good works. And if you don't see that in your life, it should be a warning, blinking light on the dashboard of your spiritual life saying, I don't think I'm saved. And we have scores of people across our land that have prayed a prayer or been to an evangelistic crusade or felt their heart strangely warmed or sensed God in a service or sang a worship song or will say, God's near me, I know he is, who have never experienced the saving faith of Christ who's come into their life and transformed them. How is it that God of the universe could come into your life and you stay the same? It's impossible according to the word of God. So here's a question. Do you have a faith in Christ or do you have a pointless profession? Be careful. This is a vital sign. Pointless professions. Pay attention to that. Also pay attention to this. Pay attention to careless compassions. Notice what he says next. He says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Now listen to this. It's the first of four times he's going to say this. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. If you've truly been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ and you see someone in need and you're unwilling to help them, then Christ isn't in you. And what you should see if you're a Christian is a growing desire to help people. Careless compassions is religion. Like, I'll do what I'm supposed to do because that's religious and God will be pleased. That's what the Pharisees did. They tithed 10%. They did all the religious expectations. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't care about people. They went through all the religious motions. They were the people that would say, I went to church today. I sang all three songs. I listened to the message. I even underlined in my Bible. I did, but I could care less about the people. Friends, let me tell you something. How you treat other people is your theology. It is a defining moment of who you say you believe your God is. What you do demonstrates what you believe. If you love your spouse, it will be demonstrable. If you love your kids, it will be demonstrable. If you love your neighbor, it will be demonstrable. There'll be evidence in your life, not because you have to, but because you're compelled to. That Christ's love compels me. I'm changing. I love differently. It's not a careless compassion. When I see the need, I do it. And isn't that interesting what Jesus said at the end of, you know, Matthew chapter 25, where he gathers the sheep and the goats. And he said, when I was in prison, you didn't visit me. When I was sick, you didn't comfort me. And they're like, well, Lord, when did we see you? I mean, we never saw you sick. We never saw you in prison. He's like, yeah, whatever you did to the least of these, you were doing to me. When Saul was on the road to Damascus and he was apprehended by Christ and he heard the words, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He's like, who are you, Lord? Why would Jesus say, why are you persecuting me? Saul would have said, I'm not persecuting you, it's these Christians. He's like, whatever you do to them, you're doing to me. Do you have careless compassion? Do you just go through the religious motions, just looking religious so it looks like you're helpful to people? Or do you genuinely care about the people of God? Do you genuinely care about every single person he created? Because God created everyone. Christ died for all people. And because Christ is in you, you love and you let him love through you the way Christ would if he were still on the earth. That's evidence that you've been born again. Pointless professions, careless compassions. He says, even so, man, if you have faith and no works, it's dead. Dead faith, that's no faith, that's useless faith. What about this third one? What about empty expressions? He says this, but someone may well say, here comes the objector. This is some of you here this morning, ready? But someone may well say, you have faith, I have works. So it's the person that's sitting here today like, okay, great, yeah, I hear you. I have faith. You're talking about all this work stuff. I don't need to talk about works. I have faith. I believe in Jesus. I have faith. I don't need the works. Somebody's saying that. So he's going to answer you. Here's what he's going to say. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Here's what he's saying. You can't show your faith without works. Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Watch me, I'll show you what faith looks like. That is what it is. And that's different than what we like to say. You know, we like to use empty expressions. I'm a believer. I got saved when I was this. I did this. I got this. Once saved, always saved. I mean, we throw stuff around that has absolutely no significance. Notice what he goes on to say. Well, I believe, you know, because somebody's like, yeah, but I believe in Jesus, so I don't even need to listen to this. You believe that God is one? You do well. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross? You do well. You believe Jesus rose from the dead? You do well. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Even the demons know Jesus Christ is Lord. Even the demons know he died on the cross. Even the demons know he rose from the dead. Even the demons know that Jesus Christ is coming back. And you know what they do? They're terrified. Here's what the text is saying. And if that's your faith, you should be terrified too. If that dashboard is blinking with your useless expressions that you make about why you're a Christian with no evidence to back it, well, I believe in Jesus. Here's what I said. I believe George Washington was the first president of the United States of America. I do. I believe Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States of America. But here's what I'm not saying when I say I believe that. What I'm not saying is I believe George Washington lives inside of me. I believe he's alive, and we talk every day about America and how I should live. And it's really not even me talking. It's George Washington talking through me right now. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I believe facts of when he lived and what he did. When I say I believe in Jesus, I'm saying that Jesus that died on the cross and the one that rose from the dead and the one who's coming back dwells in me. He's alive as he's ever been. He's speaking through me. He loves you. He loves me. And he's changed my whole life. That's what I believe. And that's different. Amen? So when we talk about empty expressions, I mean, we know so much Christianese to tell people anything we want to tell people. If there's nothing in your life to indicate that there's change, I mean, whoopity-doo that you know all the facts about Scripture. Knowing facts about Jesus is not saving faith. Hell is full of people that know the gospel. It's turning toward the gospel and asking God to save you and come into your life and change who you are. That's the gospel. Are you willing to recognize this? Are you willing to pay attention to this? That faith without works is useless? That's the second time he said it. I mean, when things get repeated in the Bible, pay attention. When he's making a case, pay attention. Verse 17, even so, faith if it has no works is dead being by itself. But are you willing to recognize that faith without works is useless? Do you see that? Well, I don't need faith. I'm a Protestant. We don't need works. We just get saved by Jesus. Yeah, I get it. You get saved by Jesus, but if you're truly saved, you will have works that accompany that salvation. It'll be evident to you and everyone around you that you're a different creation now. Amen? Don't live on empty expressions. Now, I know what some of you are saying right now. I mean, you're using this mental gymnastic, and you're like, what about the thief on the cross? He believed in Jesus. He died within an hour or two. I mean, he didn't do anything. What about the thief on the cross? Everyone always wants to go to the thief on the cross. Everybody wants to go to the lowest common denominator of what we can do and still get saved. So let's talk about the thief on the cross. You can read about this in the Gospels. I mean, John 19 or Luke 23, I think, is a great place to go. When you go there and read, here's what you'll see. In the morning that Jesus was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning, on one side of him and on the other side of him, on his right and on his left, were two criminals. And while everybody was shouting, crucify him, and while everybody was shouting, you said you could save others, you can't even save yourself. While everybody was saying all the horrible things about Jesus, these two criminals were joining in the fun. But something changed in the heart of one over time. Because later in the afternoon, the one criminal began to say, whoa, what's going on here? And he starts rebuking the criminal on the other side of Jesus. Like, why are you talking to him that way? He's done nothing wrong. We deserve everything we're getting. We knew what was wrong and we broke it. Jesus did nothing wrong. And then he says this, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So just hang with me. This thief on the cross that, quote, had no good works. Here's what his no good works were. He rebuked people that were against Jesus. He had his heart changed. He asked Jesus for mercy and called him king. And where did he do it? Publicly, in front of the whole world that was hostile. You've been a Christian for how long? When's the last time you went public in a hostile crowd and told people how much you love Jesus? The thief on the cross did it before he died. Right? And then Jesus said, truly, truly, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. I mean, that guy died within an hour or two. I mean, after Jesus died, they broke their legs and he died. So presumably he was in heaven. Well, he didn't do many good works. He did a lot more good works than we give him credit for. Because everybody that's born again does those things. Everybody that's born again stands with Jesus. Everybody that's born again is rebuking others. Everybody that's born again is giving public testimony to how awesome Jesus is. That's part of the righteousness of Christ coming through him, even when the guy's pinned to the cross. I mean, there's no evidence of anybody going to heaven that is not accompanied by righteous works. Not anywhere in the Bible will you see it. Which leads to this final one. You're thinking about pointless professions and careless compassions and empty expressions. How about this one? Don't make careless confessions. Careless confessions. People go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and say something like this. Well, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't you believe that, Pastor Jeff? I believe every word of the Bible. I believe it's all true. But let's take a look at the context. In the context of that's being written, the emperor is Lord. Caesar is Lord. If you don't say Caesar is Lord, they might cut your head off. If you're not giving allegiance to the government, they might kill you. And in that context, he's saying, but if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, not Caesar, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, even though you might lose your head, even though they might kill you, you will be saved. That's the context. It's not some silly confession like, well, I'll just pray this prayer. I'll just do this thing. It's not a religious activity. It's a relationship with the living God that you want to take over your life. Like, that's what it means. And so let's give some careful consideration here to some of these careless confessions that we have. Notice he's going to give us two examples that are both extreme. He says this, was not Abraham, our father, justified by what? Works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar. You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, this is verse 24, third time he's saying it. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. How much clearer can this get? I mean, it's pretty clear. You either have to throw out James chapter 2, or you have to believe that God's telling you the truth. So what's he saying? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. When did that happen? If you go back in your Bibles, you'll notice that that happened in Genesis chapter 15. God made him a promise and he believed. And when he believed, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He looked forward to the day that Jesus Christ was going to come as the Messiah. Jesus said in John 8:58, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced at this day. Everybody in the Old Testament looked forward to what Christ was going to do. They were saved by grace through faith in Christ, every Old Testament saint. How are they saved in the New Testament? We look back and we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. It's the same gospel, right? It's always through Christ. And when did he receive his faith? In Genesis chapter 15. He believed that God was going to use him to be the leader of a great nation. He believed. It's not until Genesis 22 that he offers up Isaac on the altar. So his faith in Christ, his faith in God, preceded his works that we're going to read about. It always goes that way. Your faith in Christ always precedes your good works. Now, I love this story about Abraham. He's the father of a nation. He's all this stuff. God promised him a son. He needed a son to continue to progenerate the race, right? But what happened? He married a woman that was barren. He couldn't have one. So what did he do? He told his wife, worked to his wife, hey, Hagar, she's a servant girl. We can bring the child that way. So what did he do? He had relations outside of his marriage. Is that God honoring? In no way is it. It's called adultery. So Abraham thought, I'll do it my way. I'll use adultery to get God's work done. Does God ever have us take shortcuts to get his work done? No. But what does this tell you? It's not about how good you are. Abraham wasn't good. He slept with a servant girl to bring in God's promise. That's not good. But what happened? Over time, God continued to work on his heart. And by the time we get to Genesis 22, after the promise has come, which has been miraculous because his 90-year-old wife gives birth when he's 100 years old, and now he has Isaac, and Isaac's grown up now. So prior to Isaac being born, he believed. Now Isaac's going to be sacrificed, so he's at least a teenager. So it's probably been at least 15 to 20 years since he believed. And now God tells him, sacrifice your son. And what's he say? Whatever you want, God. My heart's in a place that if you tell me to do something, even if I don't understand it, I'm going to do it your way. And he doesn't just hear it and go do it. He continues to listen to God. And as he's getting ready to take his son up the hill, what happens? He tells his servants, hey, we're going to go up and worship. We'll come back. Somehow, some way, God's going to do something. Isaac, his son, asks him, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And what does he say? The Lord will provide. Now, he didn't even know how. He has to strap his son on an altar, tie him up, which had to be a big scene. He has to pull out his knife. He's getting ready to plunge the knife into his son when he hears the words from the Lord, don't lay a finger on that boy. He's like, okay. Drops the knife. That's when he heard the ram in the thicket. That was like the quietest ram in the history of the world, wasn't it? I mean, isn't it true that when we take steps of faith, that's when God shows up with his provision? It wasn't like God said, I got a ram in the thicket, so go on up, and when you get there, just take the ram. That's not faith. Faith is you do what I say, and I'll provide. And he goes and does it, and God provides. And then what do we have? We have his faith combined with his works, and it's perfected, and scripture's fulfilled, because when God saves, God provides righteous works in a person. You will be prompted to continue to take steps of faith. You'll be challenged to grow in the grace of God. Your life will become different, not perfectly, just increasingly. Amen? So he's going to use Abraham, the father of a nation. So I'm nothing like that. Neither am I. So then he's going to pick somebody else. Notice what he does. I mean, for the third time, he says, you see, I'm telling you, man's not justified. A man that is justified by works and not by faith alone. Notice this, verse 25. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot. So we're going with Abraham, the father of the nation, and a prostitute now. Rahab the harlot, Rahab the prostitute, also justified. Was she not justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? And now the fourth time, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Four times in this section, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is useless. Don't kid yourself, you foolish fellow, to believe that works don't matter. Righteous works are evident that Christ is in you. So he talks about Rahab. What did Rahab do? You remember after the 40-year camping trip the Israelites had, and God calls Joshua to take the people in, and he sends in two spies, not to see what they think, but they go on a 3-day journey instead of a 40-day one, just to spy it out, because we're going in no matter what they say, but we want to get a lay of the land. They end up at a prostitute's place named Rahab, and she gives a testimony, because she said, all our people know who you are. We've heard about what your God did. We're terrified. I believe that your God is the real God. And she had faith in the God of the universe. But then she evidenced that faith by what? Protecting the spies. She spared the lives of them. They said, okay, here's the deal. You hang a scarlet thread out the window. You bring your family in. When all the walls come tumbling down, we'll spare your life. And that's exactly what she did. She acted in faith. It means God can use adulterers, and God can use liars, and God can use all sorts of people. He's not giving examples of perfect people, because there's no perfect people with perfect examples. There's only Jesus. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ, but if we are, we're gonna increasingly grow in our desire for righteousness. We're gonna hunger for it more. We're gonna thirst for it more. We're gonna have a desire for it more, because we love the God who lives in us. And that's what he's talking about. And unfortunately, this isn't taught too often in our culture. I'm just telling you the truth because I love you. I'm pleading with some of you. I don't even know who you are. But the ones who would say, well, I know I'm a Christian because I did. Is there evidence in your life, if you were convicted for righteousness, is there any evidence that people could convict you? And not your righteousness, but Christ working through you. Not that you've been perfect, but that Christ has done a work in your life. This is what we're talking about, because we live in a world where people make pointless professions all the time. We have empty expressions as to why we're religious and what we do. We have careless confessions. We think we can just mouth words and that changes everything. That is not the gospel. God loved you so much, he didn't send you a message. He sent you a son. God loved you so much, he didn't just tell you that he loved you. He demonstrated that he loved you by allowing his son to be slaughtered on a cross. Jesus Christ gave his body. Jesus Christ gave his blood. Jesus Christ breathed his last breath and died. Jesus Christ allowed God to pour all of his wrath on him and take all of your sin. Jesus Christ was buried in the grave. And I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ got out of that grave 3 days later, and he's alive as he's ever been. Amen? And I'm here to tell you on the authority of the word of God that only through grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, will anybody ever be saved. And if you've trusted in the saving work of Christ, not just mouthing words about religion, not just making professions, but truly want Christ to come and live in you, he will come and live in you. And if you're here today and your dashboard is flickering with, I'm not a Christian, I know I'm not a Christian, based upon what I just heard, I'm not a Christian, here's what God wants you to know. He'll make you one right now. He will save your life right now if you're willing to turn from your sin and turn to him. And if you do, he'll make you a new creation in this moment. He will make his home with you. He will grow with you. You don't have to be perfect, but you'll have a desire to grow in the holiness of Christ.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and a message titled Vital Signs. You can find this message along with earlier lessons in our current study in the book of James called Walk Your Talk at bravemedia.online. And whether you're just joining us here at Brave or you're a longtime listener, thank you for being here. It's our mission and joy to save, mature, and multiply brave disciples of Jesus Christ every week. And we're so thankful for listeners who share this passion and choose to partner with us in our efforts by supporting this radio ministry with a donation of any amount. Today, we invite you to make a financial gift to help ensure we can continue these Bible teaching programs and spread the truth of God's Word on the air, both in your local community and across the nation. Our world is in desperate need of the gospel, so take a stand today and help more people hear these biblical messages by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or by calling us at 360-552-7283. You can also send your check in the mail. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you're in the Denver area, we'd be thrilled to meet you in person for weekend services here at Brave Church. Join us this Sunday for worship and a new sermon from Pastor Jeff, and connect with our growing Christ-centered community. Visit our campuses in Englewood and Westminster, and our newest campus in Colorado Springs. And if you're listening from elsewhere, we'd be thrilled to have you join us right where you are through our live stream. You'll find directions and details to attend in person or stream weekend services at bravemedia.online. Just head to the bottom of the homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. You know what? It's true that actions speak louder than words, but tomorrow on Brave, we'll see why words aren't trivial to Christians. What we say and how we communicate matters a great deal to God. I'm your host, Bill Carl, inviting you to join us for a new message titled Talk Your Walk, coming up next time on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.